Bibles tonight as we open to the book of Jude. We're looking tonight at verses 20 and 21. The title tonight is The Commitments We Make. Let us ask God's help and direction as we begin tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for your guidance and direction here. Thank you for testimony time, the great hymns that we have sung together, the prospects of wonderful ministry just down the road for us as a church family. And Father, we do pray that in all these outreach ministries that we do and the fellowships that we have, that the people will be touched, people will be reached, that seed will be planted, that there might be a harvest of souls. Father, we ask you tonight to speak to our hearts through this little book of Jude, a powerful book. A book of letting the people of God know, hey, we have to contend for the faith. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that in these terrible days in which we live. Seems as the enemy is coming in like a flood. And we ask, Lord, for the power to stand, and having done all, to stand. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me tonight to bring this message. I'm trusting and depending in you and not in myself. You bring the message as you see fit. I am the messenger. I am the servant. I'm trusting in you tonight to bring what you would have for us from the Word. So our confidence, our faith, our trust is in you and in you alone and not in ourselves. Help us to live that every day that we live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Shakespeare's play, Henry V, the king rises early in the morning and he disguises himself and he goes out and he walks amongst his troops. And he tries to encourage them because they are up against the French and they are vastly outnumbered in this battle. And his goal as king was to steal the hearts of the soldiers that they might get out there and really fight in this battle and hopefully win. Well, Jude is doing the same thing for us as the church as he writes this little letter. He is walking amongst the soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is attempting to steal us against the enemy and to keep pressing forward in the war for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's been urging the Christian soldiers to contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith. Last Sunday night, we looked at two of the demands from the scriptures that we read. First of all, remember the words of the apostles. And secondly, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude is also going to challenge us to, number one, commit ourselves to Christian growth in verses 20 and 21. And then he will encourage us to conduct ourselves with Christian grace when we get to verses 22 and 23. So tonight, we want to look at three commitments that you must make if you are going to contend for the faith. So the number one, the first commitment that we have to make is building ourselves up in our most holy faith. Verse number 20, the first part, but you, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The key word here in this verse is the word building. Building yourselves up. That's the key word. It is an architectural term, meaning to rise up. It is a structure meant to rise to the glory of God. And we are to build ourselves up like that. We are to work hard to build this church up like that, that we might make an impact in this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jude is saying to the church here tonight, people, it's time to build. It is time to build yourselves. It is time to build the church. It is time to build. Now, building is an activity. Building is work. Building is getting out there and putting your hands to work. You can't build if you don't do that. Activity that is directed by a plan. And the plan that we have before us tonight is the eternal Word of God. This is our blueprint. This is how we build ourselves. It's by getting into this book. We have to build, build, build. The Bible is the great blueprint of the Christian faith. We are builders. And only that which matches the blueprint of Scripture is going to stand up. That is it. Nothing else will stand the test. The apostate and those on the road to apostasy are also following a blueprint. But it is not this blueprint. It is a blueprint which is leading souls to destruction. That is where apostasy goes. And so Jude is urging us here to be actively involved in building Christian conviction, building Christian character, building Christian commitment into our lives. And these are things that Jude is telling us that have to be built, which are waning in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. In the last several weeks and months, I have really been focusing on and thinking about all the times that I have talked about Israel and the cycle that they get into, where they are just living for God and building, and all of a sudden it all goes to their head and the blessings take over and they start to fall away. Well, you know what? America and the church in America is no different. We are Israel. We are following that pattern. And so Jude is urging us to be actively involved in building. Building. Not just floating along. Not taking a back seat. Not taking a break. Not taking a rest. But building. Building conviction, character, and commitment into our lives. Now, one way that we do this is by our daily meditation in the Word of God. We cannot go without it. We cannot go without it. And when you think about the apostasy, and when you think about new evangelicalism, which is a gradual departure from the faith, you know what the first thing that's lacking in that is? They're not getting in here. And it starts to show real fast. We have to know our blueprint. We have to know what it says. We need to know these warnings and these teachings. We have to have the antennas up all the time. Jude envisions here spiritually strong and healthy Christian men and women. He envisions us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And this is what's missing in our day in the churches of America. We have so many very nice Christian people, but they don't have convictions, and they don't have character, and they're not committed, and they don't know their Bible nearly as well as they should. And so when the apostates come down the line, it's easy to fall prey. It's easy to drop off the mat. It's easy to forget what we have learned in the Word of God. You cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. We need to be profoundly influenced by this book. This is where we need to be, or the source of influence needs to be, right here. This is how we build. We get into this book. We have to be in that book if we're going to be influenced by this book. And if we are not influenced by this book, we will fall. We will go astray. We will eventually end up in disaster, if not the apostasy. The polls say that most Christians in America today cannot recite the books of the Bible in order. I'm glad you're doing that in junior church. That will not be said of our kids here at Faith Chapel. They will know their books in order. I remember learning them in Bible Adventure as a little kid with the Bible Christian Union. And I know them in order, but I still sing the song in my head. It's still there. And I rely on it. And this afternoon I was singing that song, and I was trying to see how fast I could get through the books. I didn't time myself. I tried to see how fast I could say the books in order. We have to commit ourselves to building. Building. Now I think of the carpenter. I think of the tool belt. I think of the things that hang on that tool belt. You have a loop for a hammer. You've got a slot for a pencil. You've got a slot for that punch. You've got four pouches for nails and screws of different sizes. You've got a pouch for the measuring tape. And the carpenter goes out and he uses those tools and he builds. And here's our tool belt. Here's the tools that we need to build. And so we must commit ourselves to building. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he used the Bible on the devil. And he used the Bible on the devil because he knew the Bible. And he knew what was in there. And we will build ourselves up by mastering the Bible and letting the Bible master us. See, this has to control the way we live. You know, more and more Christians today are running on feelings, running on how they think, what they like, and what they don't like. That's not how we live the Christian life. This is how we live the Christian life. This has to master us. That's what's lacking today. Instead of convictions, Christians are silent, accommodating, and tolerant. We have to build on the character, build on the commitment, build on Christ, build on the Bible, build the church. We cannot allow all that to go on the back burner. It has to be on the front burner, and we've got to be stirring that pot. Build, build, build. It's more about Jesus. It needs to be about Jesus and not about what I want, not about what the kids want. You know, we live in a day where the kid runs the parent. It's backwards. Everything's backwards today, it seems, in our country. That's got to be straightened up. And so, I don't blame Washington for the fading away of America. I blame the fading of the church. That's what I blame. I blame the fading away of the church in America. That's the problem. You know, we have to be Christian builders. We have to be laying up brick after brick after brick. We've got to take that trowel and the mud, and we have to slop it on that brick and put it in place and then smooth it off and then go to the next brick and do the same thing and build, build, build in these days. You know, the bricks are piled and they're ready and they're available for us to use. They're all right here. We've got the bricks. We've got to build. Got to build. We can't be on break. We can't be on Christian vacation. We can't be on Christian retirement. We've got to keep at it, keep building. If we're going to contend for the faith, we have to build ourselves up in our most holy calling and faith. Secondly, tonight, from verse 20, the second part, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Watching gives you a sight on the enemy. Praying fights the enemy. So we've got to keep the eyeballs peeled and we've got to pray. It's a weapon. It is a war that we're in. And so prayer is so important. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Our battle is not fought with weapons of the flesh. And we have to remember that. But with weapons of a spiritual and supernatural power. The power of God. So we must pray, pray, pray. And I don't think we can say that enough. And I think that we ought to have a little box by our beds in the morning that reminds us. Wouldn't that be great? We wake up, we get going, that little box just walks out. Pray! 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 We need that encouragement. We need that reminder. Oh, how we need the prayers of the saints. Wolford needs our prayers. Donna needs our prayers. My good pastor friend Jack Hobson needs our prayers to get him home. It's time for him to go home. I mentioned that this morning. The life of Christ is imparted to us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that a lot of our lives would change big time for the positive if we really wrapped our minds and our hearts around the fact that this is a spiritual war, a spiritual fight. We need Holy Spirit power. We can't do this in the flesh. Stop even thinking about the flesh. That's what we've got to do. It's all about God and His powerful Holy Spirit that lives within. Depend and trust in Him to lead every step. The problem is that Satan and his forces of evil are also spiritual. They are also spiritual. And they are bent on the destruction of the unsaved, and they are also bent on the destruction of us who are saved. It is a spiritual war that we are in. Satan and his hordes want to destroy us. They want to destroy the church. They want to destroy us as individual Christians. And sadly, many in our Christian community are being decimated by the forces of evil. They're lacking an ingredient in their lives. They are not praying near enough. They are not depending on the power of prayer in the Holy Spirit. They're not depending on what they need to depend on. And so the activities of Satan just go on and on and on. Now, when we pray, we're talking about a spiritual weapon. And when we pray, it releases the power of the Holy Spirit to fight for the people of God and for righteousness and for truth. Against Satan's evil activities. And prayer achieves victories that could never be accomplished by the flesh. So we must depend on that, praying in the Holy Ghost. A wise old preacher told a child who came up to him and said, "I want to be a preacher someday." And that old preacher, he took that young man and he said, "I have a word for you while I have you in my clutches." And this is what he said. He said, "Give yourself to personal Bible study and private prayer. Then you will not only be ready to be a minister, but God's messenger." You know what? That's good for 100% of the Christian community. That is good. Personal Bible study and private prayer. You know what Hudson Taylor's secret to ministry was? Personal Bible study and private prayer. Same thing. That is what it was. Contending for the faith is not easy. We need good old-fashioned discipline. Discipline of ourselves to do those things we know that we need to be doing. Personal Bible study and private prayer. The need of the hour is great. It is time for us to contend, for us to compete, for us to fight, and to get with the Holy Spirit in prayer. And then thirdly, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 21b. Looking also means waiting. Looking or waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are looking and we are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. We are doing that. We have great expectations. There is a lot more looking and waiting and longing and expecting Jesus to come back now than when I came to Faith Chapel 14 years ago. There's a lot more talk in this congregation about that now than there was 14 years ago. Not only that, there's a lot more talk about this everywhere I go in Christian circles. People are looking and longing and waiting for Jesus to come back. And that is good. That is really, really good. Now, what will that do for us? Looking, longing, waiting, expecting ought to be a great motivation for us. It ought to motivate us to action. It ought to. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon, He is coming soon. And there's a whole lot to do. And so we must work in anticipation of His return. Contenders for the faith are motivated because time is short. Time is short. Heaven is soon. You know, now there are some believers in their shallowness, they'd rather stay here on earth. Like the assistant pastor that I know, that he's not looking for the rapture. He's not looking for Jesus to come soon because he wants to see his grandchildren grow up and graduate from high school and go to college and get married. So don't come yet, Jesus. I want to see all this. Oh, no. I don't think that fits the category of a contender for the faith. You know. As a pastor, I better be leading the pack, you know, in longing and looking and waiting for Jesus to come. It's not about the here and the now. It's not about waiting to see something we... You know what? A lot of disasters could happen along the way while he's putting off the rapture and wanting to see all this stuff. I fear for that. Yeah. Well, let's talk about something good. The story of Harry Wood. Harry Wood. He exemplifies somebody who's waiting, longing, and looking, contending for the faith. This godly man told his pastor, I want to go to heaven straight from prayer meeting. I want to pray and go to heaven. And that Wednesday night didn't happen. And so he came back to church again. And he was called upon to pray. And as he prayed, those people who were in attendance at that meeting said, it seems like Harry was already in heaven more than he was on earth. Well, he finished his prayer, and before he went back to his seat to sit down, he fell over dead on the floor. He went to heaven from prayer meeting. That's what he wanted to do. He went to heaven contending for the faith. He went to heaven praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how he went. You know what? That's not a bad idea to pray about. You know? How do you want to go? Well, first choice is the rapture, right? What's choice two? You know, I think Harry Wood's way pretty good. All right. Now, I'm not telling you to get a death wish on, but you know, we got to contend for the faith. Got to contend for the faith. That was a good way to go. Brother Don McKnight, he went to glory on his knees in a cottage prayer meeting in his church there in Maryland. Well, what happened in Harry Wood's church was a revival happened in his church. That's what happened. I mean, these people who were there on that night experienced a man of God who prayed like he was already in heaven. And man, when he died, that changed the church. It changed the pastor. It changed everybody that was there. You know, bad times are ahead in this world, in this country. Faith has been eroded. The lies of the apostates and the breakdown of the moral standards are going to bring, it's going to bring on the Antichrist. It's going to bring it on. It's the way it is. Thank God we're going to be out of here before the wrath of God is poured out. And so in the meantime, we must contend. We must remember the words of the apostles. We must keep ourselves in the love of God. We must keep Jesus' commandments, live out the Scriptures, submit to God in everything. We must build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We must pray in the Spirit. We must wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We need to read, study, meditate, and pray because that's the only way. There is no other way. That's the only way. We must, as believers, we must contend. We must never give up. We must never throw in the towel. We must never give in. Until the day that all of us dies, we must contend for the faith. Shall we pray? Father, we ask tonight that you would make us contenders for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Help us to heed, absorb, live the challenges of the great preacher Jude, who turned his attention from what he wanted to write to what you wanted him to write. And we're so glad for that tonight. So, Father, we pray in these days in which we live that you would help us as your children here tonight. Help us to contend for the faith. Help us to be all that we ought to be. Help us to treasure the Scriptures that we have before us. Help us to be in them. Help us to be praying, depending, meditating, seeking your face, building in these days. We need your help for this. As the hymn writer wrote, we are weak, but you are strong. And may our dependence always be upon you. Lord, we pray that you light a fire under us. We might build in these days. Help us to stand, and having done all to stand, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.